If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, the New Testament book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Amen. Praise God. God bless all of our children and youth. Amen. Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin reading at verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, beginning there. Romans 8, 18, for I consider, I'm reading from the New King James today, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Amen. We read that again. The creation, the whole creation groans and labors. Yes, it wants, it desires, so to speak, to be helped. But not only that, we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting. Everybody say eagerly waiting. That is hope. For the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Amen. I'm not going to keep us long this morning, but I want to speak to us just for a few moments from this subject, the secret ingredient of hope. Amen. Clap your hands and give God praise one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. And you may be seated. After salvation, the world's greatest need is hope. In fact, hope is necessary to even get to salvation. What is hope? Where does it come from? Is it an emotion? No, hope is not an emotion. Hope is not a figment of one's imagination. It is not a mental crutch for the weak-minded. Hope is not even exclusive to Christians or Christianity or any other religion for that matter. Hope in its purest form is a characteristic designed and created by God, inserted into the DNA of humanity, and is therefore a human trait. But not everyone has hope because it can be lost. Hope is the key to survival for the POW held captive in the enemy's camp in the jungles of Vietnam. Hope keeps his sanity, causes him to look to the skies every day for his brothers in arms. For the lost hiker in the wilderness who has run out of food and water is scarce, hope keeps her looking for food, water, and a way out and will not let her give up. For the boater shipwrecked in a vast ocean where the odds of finding him are slim to none, hope causes him to hang on to that driftwood and dare not let go. For the homeless on the street who lost his job, his family, and everything he owned, hope rises with the sun and causes him to say, today might be the day I will not quit. For the abused who doesn't know where to go or who to turn to, hope says, this may be my dilemma, but it is not my destiny. For the lonely who feels isolated and friendless without a companion, hope says, keep praying. Don't give up. Your Father knows, and He will bring it to pass in due season. Hope, like air, regardless of who possesses it, comes from God. You can be an atheist and still have hope because God placed it in your DNA. But for the believer, hope is made stronger by the Word of God. God's Word is the source of hope. Hopelessness can be eradicated by the Word in prayer, in praise, and in worship. When your light of hope has flickered and dimmed, open the Word of God in prayer, and it will reignite that flame. In Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord God said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. What a powerful promise. And Paul wrote to the church at Rome and said, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. It comes for the believer. Hope comes from the Word of God. Amen. Hope is rooted in God's Word. Like faith, everyone is given a measure of hope. But also, like faith, hope is a choice. And if you choose to hope in God and His Word, anything is possible. Because where there is hope, faith rises up. And where there is faith, God works. Hebrews 11 is that chapter on faith that we often refer to as the hall of faith and the heroes of faith. Because faith is the key word. But look at the very first verse of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it goes on and Every verse either mentions faith or is about faith, but there is more to this than meets the eye. Because if you understand verse 1, you understand that faith comes from hope. Hope is before faith. Hope is the basis for faith. Without hope, you won't even have faith. And so, really, we could read these verses like this, and I'm not taking anything out of context or I'm not changing Scripture, but really you could read verse 4, by the substance of things Abel hoped for, he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Or
by what he hoped for, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What pleased God about Enoch? He hoped. Amen. He had hope in things that he could not see. Verse 6, you could say, but without hope it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By hope Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. By hope, amen. By the substance of things hoped for, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By hope. Amen. By the things he hoped for. By the substance of things hoped for, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. By hope, by the substance of things hoped for, by what she hoped to see, Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. In other words, her hope was in the promise. Amen. Her hope was rooted in the word of God. Her hope was rooted in the promise. And her faith rose from her hope. Amen. As long as you have hope, it does not matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter what happens in your life. Amen. It's not over as long as you've got hope. Amen. And you can keep on going. Amen. By hope, Jacob. By hope, Joseph. By hope, Moses. Because it's all about hope. Amen. They walked by faith, but that faith came from hope. They knew what they were looking for. They had hope in a future. They had hope in the promises of God. If somehow we could wrap our hearts and heads around the promises that God has given us, that someday soon we're going to see His glorious appearing. Amen. But even until then, I've got hope for blessings. I've got hope, amen, for God's provision. I've got hope for answers. I've got hope for revival. Hope is vision. It is facing forward based on God's word and His promises. But the subject of hope brings questions. If we want to understand it and understand how to have it and how to keep it, there are questions. Questions like, what keeps hope alive in me? What makes hope work in me on a continual basis? In this world, in the day-to-day issues of life, what keeps the light of hope burning? Not in general, but in me and in you. Like those ordinary people from the past, in Hebrews 11, how do I maintain hope and walk by faith? In our scripture reading in Romans 8, Paul says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors. Not only that, we also, with the first fruits of the Spirit, groan within ourselves, awaiting for that adoption and that redemption of these mortal bodies. He says, for we are saved in this hope. What hope? That hope for a body that has been adopted, that hope for a body that has been redeemed, that has been changed to be like Him when we meet Him. And Paul said, we eagerly wait. We wait and we watch with hope. Amen. We wait and we watch, Paul said, with perseverance. Perseverance. John said in 1 John 3, beloved, we now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has what? This hope. Amen. The hope to see Him as He is. The hope to be like Him when we see Him. The hope to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. And so to answer the questions of hope, what keeps it alive? What makes it work in me on a continual basis? What keeps it burning? Then we must know the secret ingredient of hope. Paul called it perseverance, and that's a good word for it. John uses the word abide oftentimes, and that's a good word for it. For example, in 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. The word abide has basically the same meaning as perseverance. Both mean to remain, to tarry, to last, and to endure. Everybody say endure. John 15, Jesus said, abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me, He said. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit, for without Me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Man, we could go back and we could substitute abide here in these scriptures with endure or persevere. Endure in Me. Persevere in Me, He says. Unless it endures, unless it perseveres in the vine, and neither can you unless you endure in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who endures, he who perseveres in Me and I in him bears much fruit, for without Me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide or endure or persevere in Me, amen, he is cast out. If you endure in Me, if you persevere in Me, my words endure in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. Because that's where hope is. That's where hope is kept alive. That's where the flame is of hope is fueled in your life. Amen. But I've come today, and I think it would help if we use a word that we would better understand, that it might hit closer to home for us. And that is that secret ingredient of hope in your life and mind. How you keep it. How you keep its fire burning. And how hope stays alive and active in you is quite simply self-discipline. Abiding, yes. Perseverance, yes. But let's call it what it is and what it takes, and that is self-discipline. If hope is our greatest need outside of salvation, then self-discipline is the greatest secret to having hope. It's no secret that hope comes from the Word of God. It's no secret that hope comes through worship. That hope comes through His presence. That hope comes through prayer. And that hope comes through praise. How many of us have ever experienced this? That when hope began to dim and you looked into the Word of God and that Word and these powerful promises began to reignite that hope in you, and you weren't even hearing a message, and you weren't even in a church maybe, and you just by yourself, but the Word of God reignited that hope in you. How many of us could witness that we come in the house of God at some point, and maybe you felt hopeless because of some circumstance, some external situation, but when you lifted your hands and you began to worship and you began to praise and you entered into the presence of God somehow, amen, even though you walked in the sanctuary feeling no hope at all and feeling like life was hopeless for you, you walked out of here with fresh vision. You walked out of here with hope. But without that often elusive trait called self-discipline to keep you abiding in it and persevering in it, your flesh will lead you into hopelessness and despair. Amen. When you trudge along in life, outside of prayer, outside of the Word, hope begins to diminish. Amen. You take a few days outside of the Word without reading the Word. You take a few days without prayer, and I am not suggesting it. I'm just saying we all know what that's like. Right? But you trudge through life. And you haven't opened the Bible, you trudge through life, you haven't prayed, you haven't worshiped, your hope begins to diminish, that light of hope begins to dim. Amen. And eventually, you become like those Ephesians that Paul wrote to that became strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I can tell you from experience that the times in my life that I literally had zero hope, I can look back and say, wait a minute, you know what? I haven't prayed about this. Maybe I didn't even pray at all. I haven't been in the Word. I haven't worshiped. That's why I ain't got no hope. But if I open the Bible, if I go to a closet of prayer, if I pull myself by the collar and find a place to pray, all of a sudden hope begins to light up again in my heart and mind. Because that secret ingredient of hope called self-discipline will keep you abiding in the Word, abiding in prayer, abiding in Christ. No, it's no great revelation. It's just fact. Self-discipline is the secret ingredient to hope. Amen. As Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said, And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If, everybody say if. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. Paul is saying to the Colossian church, and by proxy you and I, if you will just grab yourself by the collar, get some self-discipline and continue in the faith, get yourself grounded and steadfast in the Word, in the truth, in the doctrine, in prayer. Amen. And are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard. Amen. He's saying, look, Self-discipline will keep you in the hope of the gospel. Self-discipline will keep you continuing in the faith, grounded and steadfast. Abiding in Christ is a sustained act. It is the power of self-discipline. Amen. Abiding in Christ is not a swinging door. We either do it or we don't. Amen. Abiding in Christ is not His responsibility for us to abide in Him. He said, you abide in me and I'll abide in you. But He puts it on us first. Amen. Because it's self-discipline that keeps me abiding in Him sometimes. Sometimes it's not the things that He's done. Sometimes it's not what I feel. Amen. Sometimes I don't feel anything. But self-discipline will take me to prayer when I don't feel like it. Self-discipline will take me to the Word when I don't feel like it. When I'm not walking on clouds, so to speak. When I'm not feeling like I'm walking in the supernatural. Self-discipline. It's that secret ingredient of hope. Throughout Scripture, there are constant calls to be steadfast and unwavering so that hope is not lost. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Sometimes it takes self-discipline. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How many knows running is self-discipline? Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. Running is good for the body, they say, but so is milk. Amen. Running takes self-discipline. Milk just takes a glass. The enemy of your soul. I know I'm losing my voice. I'm about to wrap it up. The enemy of your soul knows that if he can get you to be slack concerning the Word, prayer, and worship, that he has a good shot at your hope. And if he can get your hope, it won't be long. He's got you. He's got you. Amen. But that secret ingredient of self-discipline says, I will not quit. I will not give up. Amen. My hope is in the Lord. My future is in His hands. And my hope is strengthened and made alive in His Word. In Titus 2, Paul writing to Titus says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We cannot live the hope of verse 13. If we're not living the self-discipline of verse 12. Amen. Going back to John, 1 John 3 in closing. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. That hope to be like Him at His glorious appearing is the hope above all hope. But there is an ingredient to that hope that is necessary, and we must have our minds made up. Amen. We must ask the Lord to fill us with the secret ingredient of hope. Self-discipline. Self-discipline. To abide in His Word. To abide in Him in prayer. To abide in Him in worship. To abide in Him in righteousness. That our hope never diminishes, but rather it brightens every day. Amen. Let's stand. And so when your hope begins to grow dim, you must ask yourself some questions. Have I been in the Word? Have I been praying? Have I been worshiping? Am I abiding in Him really, or am I abiding in the world? Amen. And sometimes you just got to drag yourself back to a prayer room, back to a prayer closet. Sometimes you just got to drag yourself back to the Word. Drag yourself back to worship. Amen. Because see, it's easy sometimes to lose sight of hope when there's just so much going on. There's so much external things happening and things that are coming against you, and things that you don't know what to do with, how to handle it, and all these things, and on top of the personal things, the things that are in the world, the things that are happening in our world. And so when we get so distracted by all of that, and hope begins to diminish, and hope begins to grow dim, you just got to drag yourself back to that prayer room, back to that closet, back to the Word. Amen. And let God, let His Word reignite hope in you. Oh, hallelujah. Let Him reignite it. Let Him reignite it, because as long as you have hope, it ain't over. And the hope above all hope is His appearing. Oh, hallelujah. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Get self-discipline in your life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. These next few moments before we leave today, I just want to invite us to come and pray if you want. If you want to just come and say, God, I just want to reignite hope today. I need my hope lighted up again. I need the light of my hope turned up a little bit. It's been diminishing lately. God, I need some self-discipline in my life. Help me. Help me. You know, asking God for self-discipline is just like asking God, I believe, help my unbelief. It's all together. It's all working together. This is in the same line as believing, amen, and unbelieving. Let's just ask God to help us. Let's ask God to give us a self-discipline that you've never had before. Amen. A hunger for Him. That cannot be satisfied, but that draws you and calls you to Him, that your hope can be restored in this place, in Jesus' name.